Okay, good evening, everyone. Tonight's learning is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Rivka Bas Avram, as well as the Refuah Shleima for Chaim Yeshua Ben Hendel. Tonight we have the privilege of studying Parshas Boy together. And it's like all the Parshas in Sefer Shmois, and really in all of Chamisha Chumash Torah, it is loaded up with so much information, so much to talk about, so much to learn and to discuss. So we'll try to get to as much as we can in this week's parsha. Now, just like all the parshas in Sefer Shmois, or at least many of them, we have to realize that Parshas Boy is a follow-up continuation from Parshas Ve'era. What took place in Parshas Ve'era? So we know in Parshas Ve'era was when the tide started to turn for the Jewish people, where the Jewish people were now, so to say, having the upper hand, enjoying watching their enemies suffer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already brought 7 makos on the Egyptian people. 7 plagues has already befell the Mitzrayim. The Jews have not been working, and we'll see why that's important later this evening. The Jews have not been working for quite some time now. They have not been servants and slaves, and therefore it's a little bit of a different experience now for the Jewish people. Now, what happens in this week's parasha? So we know the Baal HaTurim points out to us famously that this week's parasha, the name of this week's parasha is Boy. The word Boy is made up of two letters, the Beis and the Aleph. So the Beis and the Aleph, if you take the letter Beis, it's 2 and Aleph is 1, so it equals 3. This is a way of us knowing that Parashas Boy consists of 3 makos. Parshas Ve'era has 7 makos, and Parshas Boy has 3 makos. So in the opening pasuk of this week's parasha, we already find a bit of a problem, a grammatic basic question. The opening pasuk, Hashem says to Moshe, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Boy El Paroi." What does Boy mean? So Boy means to come. Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem was telling Moshe, go to Paroi. So if we were writing the Chumash, we would have wrote, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Lech El Paroi, go to Paroi. What is Boy El Paroi? Boy El Paroi means to come to Paroi. Grammatically, the pasuk doesn't read right. So the Mefarshim all deal with this question, why is the opening word Boy and not Lech? Now obviously, based on the Baal HaTurim, it has to be Boy, because if it's going to be Lech, it's not going to be the Gematria 3. But that obviously is not the full answer. So that's the question that the Mefarshim grapple with just in the opening pasuk, is the grammar of the word Boy. Boy seems to imply coming, not going. So the classical answer that the Mefarshim point out is that Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that really come with me. That when I say Boy, I don't mean you go to Paroi. I mean Boy, come with me and together we will go to Paroi. That way you're not going to be doing this alone. You're going to be with me. We're going to be doing this together. That's the classical answer to that question of why Moshe Rabbeinu was told to come and was told to Boy El Paroi, to go to Paroi instead of Lech, which a Boy means come instead of going. What does Hashem tell him in the opening pasuk? Hashem tells him, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go back to Paroi. Ki ani hichbadeti es liboi ves levodav, I hardened everyone's heart. No one is going to be thinking rational anymore. No one's going to be thinking logically anymore. Everyone has a hardened experience, and they're going to make very illogical and irrational decisions. Now, the truth is, we have to really ask ourselves a basic fundamental question in Judaism, which basically is, what was the purpose of all these makas? What was the agenda over here? What was the agenda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Especially now, if you're going to be mechabe the liboy of Paroi, then it's really a waste of time. What was the purpose, the agenda behind the makas? What was it to accomplish? The Duvne Magid explains that the idea of the makas was not for the Mitzrayim. The idea of the makas was for the Jewish people. The Jewish people needed to see how powerful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And the 10 makas were really a lesson of emunah for the Jewish people. And therefore he points out, that's what the pasuk says over here. That you know why I want you to go to Paroi? Because I want you to be able to transmit this feeling, this idea, this emunah that you see in me, that you're going to learn from me. I want you to transmit that to your children. I want there to be emunah taught in Klal Yisrael. Perhaps one of the most important lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all its trimmings, such as the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, was this idea of emunah. That Klal Yisrael needed to realize the idea of emunah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of the world. And the truth is, so much of Yiddishkeit focuses around Yetzias Mitzrayim. right? We all know, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day in the davening. Tefillin, Tzitzis, Shabbos, Yom Tov, everything comes back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what was so special about Yetzias Mitzrayim? It was this idea of Emunah. Through Yetzias Mitzrayim, we learned such a deep level of Emunah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, as well as the Makkos. It wasn't just leaving Mitzrayim, but the Makkos also taught the Jewish people the idea of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his ability to be able to do anything and even to change Teva. So what does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? I want you to go to Paroi. And I want you to tell him, Uleman tisaper, in order so it should be told over, Be'oznei bincha, in the ears of your sons, Uben bincha, and your grandsons, points out the hafla, says the hafla, the Torah is teaching us something important about the mitzvah of chinuch. The mitzvah of chinuch is not sufficient just to teach your children. You need to teach your grandchildren as well. We spoke last week, we mentioned this in the Sunday share, the importance of having an involved grandfather. We mentioned this, I'll keep on mentioning this word because it's such a beautiful word from the Sforno on last week's parasha, that the reason why Amram produced such a beautiful children of, it's like Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe, was because Amram was directly involved in his grandfather, Levi. Levi spent time focusing on his grandchildren's life. When grandparents are involved in the grandchildren's life, the grandchildren can have unbelievable children. And here says the Hafla, the Torah is letting us know that you want to not just tell over things to your children, but you want to tell over to Ben Bincha, to your grandchildren, and Halavai, next generation. Baruch Hashem, they're making great-grandparents younger and younger every single day. Now you find great-grandparents that are relatively young. Baruch Hashem, my parents just had the schus of becoming great-grandparents. I think they're very young still. So they're making them younger and younger every single day. Baruch Hashem. So we should all be zeichah not just to be misaper, but Oznei Bincha, Uben Bincha. Now we can keep going more and more generations, Baruch Hashem. But the Hafla points out this idea. This idea is that it's not sufficient just to teach our children and think we're done. We need to be Mechanech Bincha, Uben Bincha. But what do we want to teach them? Eisa Sher Salalti B'Mitzrayim. I want you to teach your children all that happened in Mitzrayim. Ves Osei Sash Esamti Bom. And all the miracles that I performed there. But listen to the last wording of this pasuk. V'idatem, and you will know that I am Hashem. Asks the Mefarshim, the grammar is again not consistent. Because why? We're saying over here that you're supposed to educate your children, tell them about what happened in Mitzrayim, therefore what? Not v'idatem, that you will know, but that they will know. The way you read the flow of the pasuk is that Hashem is telling Moshe to tell the Jewish people, I want you to educate your children and tell them all that happened in Mitzrayim. Why? So that they should know. Not that you should know. Why is it referring back to you? So the Belzer Rebbe said a beautiful idea. The Belzer Rebbe said that the more you'll talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll be a bigger maimon b'Hashem. Not just your children and your grandchildren, but you yourself will become a bigger maimon. The more you talk about it and the more you focus on it, and the more you express it, you yourself will become a bigger maimon b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Sternbach says it a little differently. He says that there's a condition. The only way you can tell over to your children the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you yourself believe in it. If you believe, then you can tell your children about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you don't believe it, you can't give it over. You can't give over a message that you genuinely don't believe in. And he quotes a verse from the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says in the Psukim, we say in the Chumash, it says in the Shema, it says, "Asher anochi mitzav chayim al vavecha." I'm giving you these mitzvahs on your heart. V'shinantam lavanecha, you should teach them to your children. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you can only teach them to your children if they're al vavecha. If you feel it, if you believe in it, then you can teach it to your children. So says Rav Moshe Sternbach, if you want to be able to properly, if you want to properly teach it to your children. If you want to properly teach it to your children, then you have to believe it as well. One second, we're having a technical problem here. One second. Please try this one more time. Let me try this one more time, everyone. Just bear with me. One second. Okay, I'm just going to go out for a second and we're going to come back and see if we can start again. Bear with me. I don't know why this is not going. How are we doing now, everyone? We're back? Are we back in business? Okay, fantastic. Okay. So therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, if you want to be able to be v'shinantam levanecha, you want to be able to give over to the next generation, it's got to be al levavecha. It's got to be on your heart. You got to believe it. It's very hard to sell something that you yourself don't believe in. Therefore, says the Torah, when you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll be able to teach it to your children and to your grandchildren. The Kli Yakar makes an interesting point over here, and this is a kash that you have to ask yourself when you read the beginning of Parshas Boy. In the beginning of Parshas Boy, Hashem never tells Moshe Rabbeinu what the next Makkah is going to be. It's like magic. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the next Makkah was Arba. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know? Hashem never told him, I'm going to bring Arba. Hashem just said, go to Parai and tell him what's going to happen. And the next pasuk we see, oh, Hashem tells Moshe tells Parai, oh, by the way, Arba's coming. How on earth did Moshe Rabbeinu know? So there's many terutzim given. But the Kli Yakar makes an interesting observation. The Kli Yakar writes, Moshe changed his tactic with Parai now. Moshe is no longer working scare tactic. He doesn't want to tell him, and if you don't do this, Hashem's going to rain upon you this, that, and the other. He's changing his game, says the Kli Yakar. He's trying a new game plan. His plan now is just to explain to Parai how foolish his behavior is. Tell Parai, listen, Parai, how long are we going to put up with this game? I'm not threatening you anymore, Parai. I'm not telling you HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to shower down on you, you know, more makas. I'm not even going to go that route. I'm just saying to you simply, how much longer are we going to play this game? How much longer is this going to happen? So his original tactic, says the Kli Yakar, was not the scare tactic. He was really trying to convince Parai from a logical standpoint that it's not going to work, this behavior. So what happens? So the pasuk says, because if you don't, I'm going to give Arba. What's Arba? So Arba is grasshoppers, but if you look in the pasuk, when the pasuk describes the makkah, it says, v'chiso es eino aretz, it will cover the eye of the land. V'lo yuchal l'rois es aretz, you will not be able to see the land. So the Mefarshim ask, it's repetitive. If it's going to cover the eye of the land, so you won't be able to see the land. So the Kli Yakar learns pshat in the pasuk is that it was referring to the Arba. That there'll be so much Arba that the Arba won't be able to see the ground. And he says that since the Arba won't be able to see the ground, they're going to be like blind. And he says that, Chazal tell us, when someone's blind, they have an unbelievable appetite because they never get filled up. Because they don't see what they're eating. So it explains the Kli Yakar, that's why they're going to do so much eating, these Arba. These Arba are going to eat so much because they can't see, they're like blind. And therefore they're just going to keep on eating, they're never going to get satiated. And that's how he reads the pasuk. The pasuk says, they're going to just fill up your house, because they're going to have to look for more food, because they're so hungry, they can never be satiated, they're going to constantly be looking and searching for food. If you look in the psukim, it sounds like from the psukim that the purpose of the Arba was really just to consume the ground. By Tzvardeya, it sounds like the purpose of the Tzvardeya was to be annoying. We didn't mention this, we didn't have a Chumash last week, but there's a Shittas Rishayim that the Tzvardeya were crocodiles. Now, crocodiles are not just annoying, they're highly dangerous. But the Pashtus is that the Tzvardeya were just frogs. Frogs are not dangerous, but they're annoying. They're an annoyance. The Arba were not supposed to be an annoyance. The purpose of the Arba was to eat up, like the pasuk says, to eat any remaining growth, vegetation that was left in Mitzrayim, they were going to eat it out. And the Medrash comments, what exactly was the Midah Keneged Midah? So the truth is, every Makkah has a Midah Keneged Midah behind it. The Kli Yakar discusses in last week's Parsha, the Midrashim talk about it both in this week and last week's Parsha. Every Makkah had a Midah Keneged Midah. What was the Midah Keneged Midah for Arba? So the Medrash says the Midah Keneged Midah was that the Jewish people used to be forced by Parai to work the land, to grow and to harvest and to work the land. And therefore, all that time and effort that the Jewish people had to work the land, the Arba is going to come now and eat up all their vegetation. So I saw from the Torah Tamima. So the Torah Tamima asks, why was Parai so wanting the Jewish people to work agriculturally? Why did he want them to work the land? So he says an interesting pshat. He says that the Parai wanted the Jewish people to do physical labor. So working the field is very physical labor. Why did he want them to do physical labor? So he says because he wanted them to be too tired to reproduce. We know in the beginning of Parashat Shemos, the Torah tells us that the Jewish people were multiplying in very large numbers. The Medrash says, Rashi quotes the Medrash, there are 6 babies born at a time, others have larger numbers for the amount of babies born at one shot. So the Jewish people were just overtaking the country. So Pari wanted to stop the production of so many Jews. So he figured if I work them in the land, they'll be so tired at the end of the day, they'll not be interested in living with their wife and having babies. It will be like built-in birth control, lahavdil. So therefore, says the Teret Mima, that's why they wanted them to work the field. So Mida Keneged Mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Arabic come and eat up all of their, all of the vegetations and everything they wanted to, that grew on the ground. So what happens? Pasuk says, So the Avdi Pari say, Pari, listen, Pari, it's over. We lost. The one thing you have to, which we do need to talk about, which the Mefarshim will talk about, is Pari's stubbornness. Oh, how stubborn is our Pari? How stubborn is Pari when he sees it's up, he sees he's done, he sees he's finished, he will not give in. You know, we spoke about this in Parashat Shmos, the similarities between Pari and our, the most recent type of a Pari would be someone like Hitler, that he was also very, very, very steadfast that he was going to win the war even when the war was going down. Which is why perhaps he had to, which is why he battled till the end. If he did commit suicide or didn't commit suicide, still up for discussion. But Pari is so stubborn. At some point you have to say to yourself, it's over. You got to just give up. But Pari is so stubborn. But the Avadim say to him, his messengers, his loyal soldiers, his people say, listen, Pari, no more. We got to give up already. So what happens? The Pasuk says, by Yushavis Moshe v'Aaron al Pari. So they bring back Moshe and Aaron to Pari. They start negotiating. He says, okay, fine. I'll give you guys a little bit. Go serve your God. But who's going to go? Pari wants to know who's on the list to go serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a famous Balaturim. This is one of those classical Balaturims that you can't really make too much sense out of, but it's very famous and very interesting. The Balaturim says, you know what Pari was telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Pari was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're wasting your time. You think all the Jewish people are going to leave Mitzrayim and go to the Holy Land? Miva mia holchim. Who do you think is going? Says the Balaturim. Pari tells Moshe, Ma atem evakshim kol kach aleches? Why are you in such a rush to leave? V'chi atem svurim likanes la'eretz? You think you're going to Eretz Yisrael? This is Pari talking. Miva mia holchim. Who do you think is going into Eretz Yisrael? All you people are going to die in the desert anyways. Says the Balaturim, because the words Miva mia holchim is gematria kolev ubinun. Because only two of you guys are going to only end up in Eretz Yisrael anyways. The rest of you all are going to die in the Midbar because of the Chet HaMeraglim. This is Pari talking with a Nevuah. Hard to understand what this means, but that's the famous Balaturim. So the Balaturim says that Pari was saying to Moshe, why are you guys in such a rush to leave? No one's really getting into Eretz Yisrael. Says the Balaturim, what was Moshe's response? Moshe's response is not so fast. Binareinu viskenenu nelech. Moshe says to Pari, you're not 100% right, because the youth that are under 20 and the elderly above 60, they will go into Eretz Yisrael. So it's not so simple the way you're saying it, that everyone's going to get punished. It's not everyone. Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer takes it a step further. He says, continue reading that Pasuk. How does the Pasuk continue? Bibaneinu bibnoiseinu, our daughters and our sons. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that's referring to Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi also got to go into Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Bibnoiseinu, our daughters, is referring to the girls. What girls? The girls didn't sin in the Chet of the Meraglim, and therefore they did get to go into Eretz Yisrael. Bibnoiseinu vivkareinu, our animals got to go into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you continue reading the Pasuk following the Balaturim's lead, there were plenty of people that merited to go into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, Pari, your claim has no validity. But what's Moshe Rabbeinu's claim literally? Binareinu viskenenu nelech. He tells Pari, Pari, we're taking the ganze mishpucha. We're taking the youth and the elderly, we're going, bivaneinu nesein, the boys and the girls. Judaism is not a gender-based religion. Yomim Toivim, holiday celebrations in Judaism, is men and women. Maybe not together, dancing together in one circle. We have mechitas at our events. But it's not only the men, it's not only the women. Bitzenenu vivkarenu neil ki chag Hashem lonu. Moshe Rabbeinu telling Pari, let me tell you how we celebrate holidays in Judaism. They're family events. They're the youth, the elderly, the boys, the girls. It's a family event. It's not one gender. It's not one specific type of person. It's everyone. It's a big yisoid. It's a big yisoid. The Klal Yisrael, when we make Yom Tovim are all family experiences. And the family is made up of many components of the family. You have the older generation, the younger generation, the boys and the girls. Yom Tovim, because a Chag Hashem Lonu involves everyone. But more than that, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Pari, we don't look at the world the way you do. You know, during COVID, during the height of COVID, know, doctors and medical teams had to make decisions who gets which machines. And they had to make serious decisions, and there's halachic discussions about this. Do you give the machine to an elderly person? Do you give it to a young person who has a better chance of living, who has longer years to live? These are complicated challenges, which I'm not getting into at all tonight. But in the world outside, they make decisions like that. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them that's not the way it works in Judaism. Binareinu viskinenu. We put the youth and the elderly together. We put everyone together. We value everyone. Everyone's important and everyone's taken into consideration. And therefore, says Moshe Rabbeinu, when we have a holiday, when we get together, it's everyone. It's not only certain groups. I remember when I was a bachur in yeshiva many years ago, so we used to have a... a fellow used to come around collecting. He was a Talmud. He was a Talmud of Reb Nachman from Breslov. Okay, he was a sincere guy. He told me he used to learn in the mornings in a kollel, and he used to go around collecting. So we used to chaper him a little bit if he goes to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. So he says, "How do I go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah?" I said, "What do you do with your wife and the kids?" He says, "Oh, they stay home." I said, but that's against the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Yom Tovim was supposed to be spent together. So he used to tell me back, what did they do when they went to Oyle Regel? I said, they probably took the wife and the kids also. I don't know. Why didn't they come also? Because the Torah is saying that Yom Tovim was supposed to be spent together. Obviously, sometimes you have situations where family can't be together, but the Pasuk sounds like the definition of a Chag Hashem Lonu is supposed to be everyone together. So what happens? So he tells back to them, no, only the men can go. That's what Pare answers back. So we know what happens next. So Hashem smacks Pare with the mark of Arba. So the Pasuk says that the Arba came and they ate all of the leftovers, whatever was left. But there is an interesting line in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayala Arba Koleres Mitzrayim. The Arba went on all of the land of Mitzrayim. Vayonach. And it rested B'chol Gvul Mitzrayim within the boundaries of Mitzrayim. So the Baal HaTurim writes again. Valaturim writes, the word Vayonach we find one other place in the Chumash. We find that Pasuk Vayonach B'yom HaShvi, referring to Shabbos. Says the Valaturim, I learned from that the Arba didn't eat on Shabbos. So says the Valaturim, so since you find the word Vayonach here and you find the word Vayonach B'Shabbos, so the Arba rested on Shabbos. Says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, why would the Arba rest on Shabbos? So he said, based on what we mentioned earlier, the Medrash says that the reason why the Arba were brought on Mitzrayim was because they made the Jewish people work in the fields, but the Jewish people had off on Shabbos, at least until the end of Parsha Shemois. They had off on Shabbos. Therefore, says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, since the Mitzrayim didn't make us work on Shabbos, so the Arba didn't have to kick in on Shabbos. So explains Reb Chaim Kanevsky. So what happens? The Arba comes in and does its job. Vayichas is ein kol aretz. It covers the entire land. It makes the whole land dark and it eats everything, does not leave anything left over. So obviously Pari is very nervous by this, he's very shooken by this, so, and he says, Vayter, let's get rid of it. And what happens over here? The Pasuk tells us again, very interesting. The Pasuk says, Vayafach Hashem Ruach Yom Chazak Moid, Vayisoes Arba, Vayiskoeu Yom Asuf, Lo Nishar Arba Echad B'chol Gvul Mitzrayim. There was no Arba left in the entire boundaries of Egypt. Not a one left. Rashi says, even the pickled ones that the Goyim wanted to keep for dessert, those also got destroyed. But listen to this Ramban. Writes the Ramban that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah to remove the Arba was so powerful that even Ad Hayoim, even today, says the Ramban, Shein Arba Mavsi B'chol Gvul Mitzrayim. Then you pull the Eretz Yisrael v'yovav v'yikones b'gvul Mitzrayim, Eino Eichem B'chol Gvul Mitzrayim Klum. And even if Arba will find its way into Egypt, it will not eat anything. V'zeh Dover Yedua. And this is known. He writes, because Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah nemonim l'shoh u'l'dairis. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs took on validity not just for that generation, but for future generations. And therefore he says, that's why lo nisha arba echad b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. He quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, same thing. Just to imagine the power of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, that there's not going to be any Arba even in Mitzrayim, even later years. Not just at the time when this happened, but even subsequent years later, there will also not be Arba found in Eretz Mitzrayim. Then we come to the next Makkah, the Makkah of Choshech. The Makkah of Choshech is very unique. The Pasuk tells us that, Rashi tells us, that the Makkah of Choshech had two parts to it. It had Choshech Shal Ofos Shleiro Ish Es Achiv Shloi Shal Yomim. The first part was this intense, deep, thick darkness that you couldn't see each other. Va'oy Shloi Shal Yomim Acherim Choshech Muchpol Alze. And there was another 3 days, even more than that. Shloi Komu Ish Mitachtov, you couldn't get up. Yoishiv En Yochol Lamed Ve'oymir En Yochol Eishiv, you couldn't move. You were stuck. Such a thick darkness, you couldn't move. Okay. And then Rashi asks a very, very interesting question. V'lomo Hevi Aleim Choshech. In fact, Rashi Akasha, I want to know, Why did Hashem bring the Makkah of Choshech to the Mitzrayim? Says Rashi, two answers. Says Rashi, and this is such an important Rashi. Shehayu b'Yisrael ba'oisa hador rishayim. Says Rashi, there were evil people during the times of the Jewish people. V'loi hayu rotzim lotzeis, they didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. Umesu b'shloishis yimei afeila. And they died during these 3 days. Kedei shalayiru Mitzrayim b'malposam. So the Mitzrayim shouldn't see their downfall. V'yoyimru afheim loikim kabayin. And they'll say, ah, look, the Jews also suffered. It wasn't just the Mitzrayim. So let's digest this comment of Rashi. It needs a lot of discussion. First of all, what always bothered me about this Rashi is, why are they called Rishayim? Rishayim? Evil? What's so evil? They're not harming anyone, they're not hurting anyone, they're not breaking any one of the commandments. Why are they so evil? It's such a strong Lashon, Rishayim. We're so careful, we don't call someone a Rasha. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rasha Allah Masakeh Reyecha. We don't go call people Rishayim. What makes these people Rishayim? So I always thought the Pshat was, is that the reason why they're a Rasha is because they didn't believe in the entire process. Moshe Rabbeinu has been telling the Jewish people from the get-go, there's a process over here. We're going to leave Mitzrayim. We're going to get out of here. We have big plans. We want to go out of here, not into the desert, into the Holy Land, to become Am Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael. We have big plans. And these people said, I'm not interested in big plans. I'm very happy the way things are. I'm not being oppressed. No one's bothering me. No one's bothering me. I'm not working in Mitzrayim. I'm very happy. Shalom alei nafshi. So therefore, I'm not looking for any problems. Therefore, again, we're having trouble with the microphone. I don't know why. Give me 1 second, everyone. I apologize again. I don't know why this keeps on happening. Maybe it's a Simon Ben Hashemayim. We're supposed to go back to in person. I don't know. But, 1 second again. I don't know why it's not going. I don't know. Sorry, I apologize immensely. I don't know why it's not going. Okay, I'm going to try something else. Leave meeting. I don't know why the audio is not working. I don't know. Choose one. I don't know why it's not going. I have no choice here. I'm going to have to end it. Try again. Oh, Yeshua Rechim. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Hopefully we won't have any more problems going forward. So, let's bring everyone back. Okay. Okay, hopefully everyone's going to find their way back. So what happened? So Rashi says that they're Rishoyim. So we're bothered with the Kasha, why are they called Rishoyim? So we suggested maybe the reason why they're called Rishoyim is because they didn't believe in the great, big plan over here. Because Baruch had big plans for us. He didn't want us just not working for the Mitzrayim. He wanted to take us out, give us a Torah, make us a nation, give us a place, and give us a future. And therefore they're called Rishoyim. But Rabbi said, I want to share with you a very scary Zohar that I came across today. The Zohar HaKadosh writes that when Mashiach is going to come, 15 days before Mashiach comes, there's going to be 15 days of darkness. And the same thing is going to happen. The people who don't want Geula, the people who don't want to move out of where we are going to also, Nebuch, be lost during those days. And then there'll be the Geula. Now, I always point out when I read this parsha, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm not so sure which group I'd be in. I don't know if I'd be so, willing to leave Mitzrayim. You have to remember, the Jewish people at this point are not working for Mitzrayim. They're watching their enemies be destroyed. And this is the only country they know. They don't know anywhere else. So it wouldn't surprise me that many people wouldn't want to leave. Maybe many of us fall into this trap also. Many of us, when life is good, who says we want Geula? Who wants Mashiach? What Mashiach? What Eretz Yisrael? What do I mean? Life is good here. And therefore, it's just something to keep in mind in the back of our heads that we need to be Mitzapel Yeshua. We need to want Mashiach to come, because if we're not going to want it, we're not going to merit to see it. Therefore, says the Zohar Kaddish, the same way that before Yetzias Mitzrayim, those who didn't want the Geula didn't get the Geula. Says the Zohar, the same thing is going to happen before the arrival of Mashiach. Those who don't want it are not going to merit to be a part of it. But this Rashi is very important, based on an idea that I've mentioned many, many times since COVID began. And it gave me, hopefully many others, perhaps, some form of comfort. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky comments in this week's parasha, and Rabbi Yaakov said that you see an unbelievable idea over here. You see that for whatever reason, before Klai Yisrael can merit to see Geula, a lot of people have to die. We'll read in next week's parasha that only Chamushim Olu B'nei Yisrael, only 1/5 of the Jewish population left Mitzrayim. 4/5 didn't make it out. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, without trying to understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we're not trying to do, he said, you see from there that in order to see Geula, sometimes we need to have a situation where we lose a lot of people. And Rabbi Yaakov said that after the war, after the Holocaust, after World War II, he felt this to be somewhat comforting, that we lost so many Jews in the Holocaust, 6 million. It's a number we can't even comprehend, and whether or not that number is even accurate. And Rabbi Yaakov said that the only way to understand it is like before we left Mitzrayim. That for some reason, before the Jewish people merit to see unbelievable Geula, we need to experience a terrible loss. And I found this in my own life when we were dealing with COVID, and Baruch Hashem, right now, it should only continue. There are not many, many deaths from COVID, and it should only continue. But when we were losing Yidden, Mamish, every single day, when this pandemic first began, 2 years ago, we were losing people daily. And the numbers were just jumping, and no one knew what was going to be. I found a lot of nechama in this idea from Rabbi Yaakov, that this just means we're one step closer to the Geula. Because for some reason, we see that the Geula needs people to die. It's heart-wrenching. But Rabbi Yaakov said it's what you see from the Chumash, that before we can merit the Geula, Klai Yisrael needed to lose so many people. So here also, we must need to, for some reason, this must mean that we're one step closer, one run closer, one step closer to the ultimate Geula. But what's interesting about this Rashi is that this is the ninth Makkah. The ninth Makkah, and all of a sudden now Rashi wants to know, why do we have this Makkah? Rashi never asked why Dam, one Sradeya, why Kinim, why Arav, why Dever, why Shul. Rashi never was bothered. Now again, we mentioned this many times. Rashi doesn't make stuff up. Rashi quotes what's found in the Midrashim. So Rashi here, when it came to the Makkah Choshech, Rashi gave you a Medrash. The Medrash says, why did Makkah Choshech happen? So Rashi gives you two reasons. Why was Rashi never bothered for the first 8 Makkahs? Rashi had no problems. Why dumb, why tzvadeh? No problems. Also now comes to Choshech, frekt Rashi Akasha, why Choshech? Very strange why Rashi wasn't bothered till now. So I saw that the Nesivis writes because this Makkah had two parts to it. Every other Makkah was the same thing just for 7 days. This was the first Makkah that had like two parts to it. So that's why Rashi was bothered with like, you know, what's happens to two parts to the Makkah? But I remember seeing in other years a different Pshat, which I think is very Gishmak, that the answer to the Kashi is that this is the first Makkah that goes against Bria Sa'ilam. Because Baruch Hu said in the Bria, I'm going to make Ar in Choshech. This is not Ar in Choshech. This is non-stop Choshech. Therefore, Rashi had to explain why Hashem decided to go against the Bria. Why did he go against the Teva? Why did he change nature? Why did he go against the way he set up the world? The answer is because he had an agenda. He needed to, whatever he needed to do. Maybe that's why Rashi asks the Kasha only by Choshech and not by any of the other Makkahs. The Pasuk says that there's going to be Choshech for the Mitzrayim. Ulchol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'moish v'isam. But for all the Jewish people, there was light in their dwellings. So there's a machloikis in two different brises, whether or not the Jewish people had light in only when they lived in Goshen, or even when they traveled to Mitzrayim. One medrash says that when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, meaning we know the Jewish people lived in Goshen, and then there was Mitzrayim proper. So what would happen if a Jew would walk to Mitzrayim? would he see light or we'd see dark? So there's two different midrashim. One midrash says that if a Jew would leave Goshen and go into Mitzrayim proper, downtown Mitzrayim, he would also be stuck in the dark. The other midrash says, no, that the Jewish people had light wherever they went. The other midrash says, no, the Jewish people only had light in Goshen. If they left Goshen, they were back to darkness. So Reb Chaim Kanevsky wants to say that this is totally in another machloikis. It says in the Chumash the word Moish Vaisam. So there's machloikis in Kedusha. When you see the word Moishav, does that mean wherever the Jewish people are living? Or does that only mean where the Jewish people are living bikvias, like where they live long term? So it says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, if you hold that the Jewish people had light wherever they went, that's because the word B'moshe Vaisam means B'chomakim Sha'ati Yashav, wherever you are. If you learn it was only in Goshen, that's because you read the word Moishav only where they have a kvias, where they have a community, where they have an established place. And the Jewish people were only established in Goshen, and therefore they only had light in Goshen, not wherever they went. Okay. So what happens? So Pari tells Moshe Rabbeinu, fine, you broke me again. Lichu ivdu es Hashem. I want you, go serve your God. Rak tzoyin chem uvikarchem yutzog. But he tells Moshe, no problem, go serve your God, go have a holiday, but leave the sheep here. Leave the sheep here. So the Mefarshim asked the obvious question, what was Pari thinking? How could we told you earlier that we got to go have a holiday, and in our holiday we have to offer karbonis. So we have to offer karbonis. How can we leave the karbonis here? What was the thought process? So I saw an interesting pshat. They wanted to suggest that Pari was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu like this, Moshe Rabbeinu, we both know that it's not about the animals. Why do you keep on telling me that you can't have the karbonis here because the Mitzrayim will see the animals? The animals are their idols and they'll get upset at you. But says Pari, what about during Choshech? It was dark. You could have been makriv all the karbonis you want. You could have had all the parties with the animals you want. No one would have seen the thing. Must be, says Pari, that you're full of it. It's not true. You really want to leave. You really want to bounce on me. So I'm keeping your animals here so you can't leave me and never come back. Okay, so what happens? So the pasuk continues, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, no. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, oy nega echad avi al Pari, I got one more for Pari. And then afterwards, he's going to send you out, but I have a condition. Before that, daber no ba'ozneon, please speak to the people. I want you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to go speak to the people. V'yishalu ishmei esrei, I want every man to ask his Mitzri counterpart, his Mitzri friend, v'isha me'es ru'usa, and each Jewish woman from the Mitzri woman, klei kesev uklei zahav, I want you to ask them to give you their silver and their gold. So the obvious question is, the word re'eyu means a friend. The Gemara says in Baba Kama that when you see the word re'eyu, re'eyu excludes a non-Jew. So asks all the Mefarshim, re'eyu is something where a Jew is a friend, the guy is not a friend. So over here, it sounds like from the pasuk that the Mitzri is the Re'eyu. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says that before Matan Torah, before the Jewish people got the Torah, then the Goyim and us were called Re'eyu. The only reason why Re'eyu excludes the Jews, because after Matan Torah, we become very different than the Goyim. We have a Torah, we have mitzvahs, we become fundamentally different than them. But before Matan Torah, we weren't so different. That's Rabbeinu Bechaya's pshat. But the Vilna Goyim has a famous pshat. But the Vilna Goyin learns pshat over here is that the pasuk wasn't telling us to go ask the Mitzrayim. He reads the pasuk like this. It's really a pasuk later on that we really should first ask our Jews for. We should first ask the Jewish people to borrow things, and then only then should we ask the Mitzrayim. The Vilna Goyin says that in order for us to get out of Mitzrayim, we first had to work on our own achdus. We first have to borrow things from each other, and then only after that we can then get from the Mitzrayim, and then we can merit to get out of Mitzrayim. So explains the Vilna Goyin. He says it on the pasuk later on. I'm just trying to find it now. Where the pasuk says what happened. It says afterwards. I'll just find it quickly. The pasuk says. It reads very, very nicely in the pasuk the way the Vilna Goyin learns it. It says later on in Perek Yud Beis, "Ubnei Yisrael also kizvah Moshe, vayishalu mimitzrayim klei kesev klei zahav usmoilos." That they borrowed from them, right? They borrowed from them. It says they borrowed from them silver objects, usmoilos and clothing. Vahashem nasan eschein am beinim mitzrayim vayashilum, and the Mitzrayim gave it to them. That's not here. But the Vilna Gaon learns that it was a two-step process. First, the Jewish people borrowed from the Jews to build camaraderie. And only after then can we borrow from the Gaon. The Pasuk says that the Jewish people borrowed clothing. So the Mefarshim all have a kasha. We need clothing. We know that the Jewish people didn't wear mitzvah clothing. So if the Jewish people didn't wear mitzvah clothing, we didn't change our clothing, what are we going to borrow the clothing from? So that's a kasha the Mefarshim talk about. We're not going to get into at this moment. But I did see a cute kasha which connects to what we're learning Sunday morning. I saw a kasha that we know there's a halacha called Kim Leibid Rabbi Mineh. That if a person is Chayiv Misa, and he's also Chayiv Mamanis, so he only gets one, he doesn't get the other. So I saw they ask a kasha. I thought it was a joke, but they take it seriously. That why would the Mitzrayim get killed in Kriyas Yamzov from Akas Bechayris, some of them, and then the rest of them in Kriyas Yamzov, and they also had to pay their stuff. What happened to Kim Leibid Rabbimini? Why don't we say that the Mitzrayim should only get punished one, either death or lose their objects? Why both? I don't think the kasha gets off the ground for so many reasons, because first of all, Pashup shot that the money that they were paying was back pay for not working. That's not the same time for this. Oy vey, we're losing the audio again, Rabbi Say. Okay, I don't know. Rabbi Say, I apologize. I don't know why we keep on losing the audio. I don't know what's going on over here. Hashem Yirachim. Okay, we might have to end the shiur soon because I can't, we keep on losing the audio. I apologize. So I don't know why exactly this would have to do with Kim Leibid Rabbi Mineh, but one of the answers that they give is that we don't say Kim Leibid Rabbi Mineh when the Misa comes from Shemayim. So Makas Bechayris was definitely Misa from Shemayim, and that's why there's no Kim Leibid Rabbi Mineh. But again, I don't really see how the Kashi really gets off the ground based on a lot of sugyas that we've learned already in the morning. But in any case, if you look on the Pasuk is very interesting. It says, Daber no ba'ozne'am. Moshe Rabbeinu is asking nicely, please, I'm asking all of my Jewish people, go borrow things from the Mitzrayim. So the Brisker Rav explains that this was not a mitzvah. This was a bakasha. It was a request. It wasn't an obligation. We were not obligated to get things from our mitzvah counterpart. We were requested. Says the Brisker Rav, now we can understand the very troubling Medrash. The Medrash says in next week's parasha, Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was such an amazing person, while all of Klal Yisrael was busy collecting the Bizas Hayam, Moshe Rabbeinu was busy collecting the bones of Yosef. So everyone has a kasha. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing so much better than everyone else? Bizas Hayam was a mitzvah. Hashem said, I want you to take all the money from the Mitzrayim. So if Hashem said, I want you to take it, so why isn't it a mitzvah, says the Brisker Rav, because it was never a mitzvah. It was a bakasha. It was a personal request. It wasn't a mitzvah. But Moshe Rabbeinu taking the bones of Yosef, that was taka mitzvah. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it. The Mefarshim all ask Akasha, why was this the way we ended up with the money? Such a strange way to get the money that we ended up borrowing the money from the Mitzrayim. So I think the answer is Faker. I think it's such a beautiful Musa Haskel of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, you Mitzrayim, not only are you going to pay the Jews back, you're going to willfully pay the Jews back. You're going to give them your stuff willfully. It's such an expression of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately runs the world. So what happens? We come to Makas Bechayris, the last Makas Bechayris. So the Rashi tells us that who died in Makas Bechayris. So Rashi says that every firstborn died, whether they were a shivcha, whether they are an eved. Even the Medrash says, even if you were visiting Mitzrayim, if a person was on vacation in Mitzrayim and they were an elder, they died during Makas Bechayris. So people have a kasha. Why should a visitor die? What did he do wrong? So I saw a very nice terrace from Noach Weinberg. He said, because you have no business visiting Mitzrayim. Who goes to vacation in Mitzrayim? You're going to vacation in a place that mistreats their people. That's where you're going to go vacation. So therefore said Noach Weinberg, that's why if a person even vacationed in Mitzrayim, he also died during Makas Bechayris. The Pasuk, when it describes Makas Bechayris, it says, everyone's going to die. There's going to be such a scream in the land of Mitzrayim that never was and never will be. So you have to ask yourself the question, you know, that's like a very small factor of Makas Bechayris. Makas Bechayris is people died. Lives were lost. Why the focus on the screaming? So the Mefarshim point out because everything is midah keneged midah. Everything is tit for tat. The Jewish people scream when the babies were yanked out of their arms. The Jewish people scream when the babies were butchered and pari bathed in their blood. Now you, Mitzrayim, are going to scream. For every time the Jews had to scream in pain, you're going to scream in pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back to Mitzrayim for everything he did, for every cry, for every scream, for every kvetch, every sound and emotion that the Jewish people suffered under the Mitzrayim. You too, the Mitzrayim, are going to suffer now as well. Pasuk says, "U'l'chol b'nei Yisrael la'yechratz kelev l'shoyne," and in all of the Jewish people, a dog did not bark. La'yechratz kelev l'shoyne mi'ish v'ad behema. What's the big deal about the dog bark? The dog yet bark. The dog doesn't bark. So the Torah points out that dogs tend to bark when they smell carcasses, dead bodies. Mitzrayim was filled with dead bodies that night because everyone had someone who died. So that was taka a big chiddush that the dogs didn't bark, even though there were so many reasons for the dogs to bark. We all know the Medrash tells us that the Kalavim were rewarded because they didn't bark during Makas Becheres. They were rewarded that whenever we have an animal that's a trefa, we give the meat to the dog. So I saw this kasha once. It's a gavaldik kasha. Now, if you want to talk about animals being mois and nefesh, so I would say the greatest mesiras nefesh of an animal was in last week's parsha, the tzvardeya. The frogs, they jumped into the ovens, they jumped into anything. They were unbelievably mois and nefesh. So you would have assumed that the reward for the tzvardeya would be a lot better than the reward for the dogs. The dogs get to eat endless free food. All the nevelas and trefers, they end up by the dog. Fantastic, he gets to eat for free. Why? Because he didn't bark during Mitzrayim. And the tzvardeya, they got nothing like that. What's the pshat? So I saw once, I think my friend quoted this from someone, it's such a beautiful insight. He says, you see from here, it's very hard to keep your mouth shut. It's easier to jump into a burning bush, jump into a burning fire, than it is to keep your mouth closed. What did the dogs have to do? They had to not do what dogs do. Dogs bark. They had to shut their mouth. And it's just like Lashon Hara. It's not so easy not to talk Lashon Hara. But the reward is that much greater, because when it's difficult to do something, the reward is always so much greater. So, the Pasuk tells us about Makas Becheres, that the Medrash says something interesting, that not even a Jew died in Makas Becheres from a natural death. You have to remember, we had a lot of people living in Mitzrayim. Over a million something people. So you have to assume that there must have been someone that died from old age. Says the Medrash, not one Jew died Leil Pesach. So no one should think that it's not just the Mitzrayim. Which is an amazing nace. Mamash, an unbelievable nace. Not only did the Mitzrayim die, but the Jews, not one Jewish person died even of a natural death during the Makkah. We know the Pasuk says that during this Makkah, I'm skipping because we're very short on time and I don't know how the computer is not behaving tonight. So we know that that one of the commandments was during that night was Va'atem lo yiseitzu ish v'pesach beise ad boiker, that a person was not allowed to leave their house during Makas Becheres. So I saw a hakira from Reb David Soloveitchik. Biskarov son, he clears the Chakira, is this din of Atam Loiseitzu, is this a din in Leil Pesach, or is it a din in the Carbon Pesach? For some reason, this was the night they brought the Carbon Pesach, and because they brought the Carbon Pesach, that's why you're not allowed to be in the streets. So it's interesting, because Rabbi Soloveitchik has a different shot. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained the reason why the Jewish people were not allowed to leave during Makas Becheres is he compares it to revolts. He said that Kosh Baruch was afraid that the Jewish people would see how much freedom they have. They would start to revolt, and they would start doing whatever they wanted to the Mitzrayim, and they would totally not act the way they're supposed to behave. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I don't want you outside. I don't want you exposed to the temptation of perhaps misbehaving during this time. I want you all to stay inside. You stay inside, you can't get yourself into any trouble. And that's why the commandment was, V'atem lo yiseitzu ish b'pesach beisai. That's why no one was supposed to leave their homes. We'll say one last word, and then we'll end here for tonight. Hopefully, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, next time we meet, everything will be behaving better. The Pasuk tells us that that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, we all know that Pare was a Bechor, and Pare was very nervous about Makas Becheres. So the Pasuk says, in Perek, Pasuk Lamed, the Pasuk says, Vayoko and Pare Laila. Pare gets up the night. So Rashi says, when he gets up, so Rashi says he gets up from his bed. Right, we all know the famous song, Pari in pajamas in the middle of the night, right? So Pari gets up from his bed. What does Rashi want with this one word, Mimi Tosei? So all the Bali Musa point out over here, Pari is such a pella. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Pari and told him, tonight all Becheirim are dying. Pari knew he was a Bechor. And Pari still got into his bed. He got into his pajamas and he got into bed. How? If we were pirate, we'd be so nervous. Moshe Rabbeinu has been right every single time, dead on, spot on. And Pari is not even nervous. He gets into his pajamas and goes to bed like it's any other night. It's mamash a pella. It's so hard to understand. Yet the Mefarshim say that we see from over here that a person believes what they want to believe despite all the information, all the evidence. And we do this all ourselves in our own life. So many times we know we're wrong, we know it's not correct, and we do it anyways. We just don't care. That's what Pari is doing also. Pari knew Moshe Rabbeinu has been right every single time. Moshe Rabbeinu is for sure going to come true. But he didn't care. He couldn't give in. He couldn't allow himself to lose. He couldn't allow someone else to be right. And we're guilty of this in our own lives. So many times we have arguments about things when we know we're wrong. We know there's no validity to our claim, but we just can't give in. We can't give up. We can't just say, you're right, I'm wrong, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I had the wrong idea. We're so stuck in our way. We have to learn a little bit from Pare, not to be like Pare, to sometimes just admit when we made a mistake and deal with it. So the Mefarshim pointed that Pare was so stuck in his way, he even went to bed. He was not going to give any impression that he thought Moshe Rabbeinu was right. It's a Musar Hasker for all of us to realize when we sometimes are wrong and we have to admit and we have to give in and realize perhaps we have made a mistake. Okay, Rabbi Isai, I apologize for the technical problems this week. Mirz Hashem, next time we meet, we shouldn't have any technical problems. We should be able to learn. Everyone should stay safe and stay healthy. Stay safe and healthy. Have a wonderful week and a wonderful Shabbat.